Well, thank the Lord to be able to be here together this afternoon. I want you to know that when I see your faces, I'm so thankful to be part of the body of Christ. And I want you to know that I appreciate you and your effort that you're putting into wanting to serve the Lord. And I want to encourage you. If there's anything I can do, I know I'm human, and there are things I've done that probably has been a discouragement to some people. I'm sorry, but that's my heart's desire. It's just some way to be an encouragement to my fellow man. I want to go to heaven with you. And I want to see you be successful in your walk with the Lord. And I hope you want the same for me, because I'm desperate. I've got to go to heaven. I know there's an option, but I don't like the other one at all. And I mean to do whatever it takes to go to heaven. This is where I want to go. I thank the Lord. As a body of Christ, we see what God creates. When we come to services, there's different elements of the service. There's singing, and there's praying, and there's preaching, and different, sometimes, testimonies and things that people interject. Very grateful for all those parts. Prayer is a very important element. And I would encourage us all to do our practicing of prayer while we're alone in our home congregations, and we get in services where there's a larger, I know it's difficult. I can tell you that I'm not comfortable sometimes leading out in prayer in a larger group, but learn to do that. We need some prayer warriors. Not just, I know there's a place for your silent and personal prayer, but there's also a place when we come here together that we have a burden for prayer. And I thank the Lord for that. I heard Sister Husky lead out there in prayer, and she's been with us for a number of years. And I thank God for her. And others who have been examples like that throughout the years, they buoy me up. One thing that happens to my phone about every Sunday morning, I get a little text. And it says, I'm praying for you. Asking the Lord to bless you today. You know what that does to me? I thank God for that. Sister Husky, I just thank God for the burden that He's put on you. I don't mean to embarrass you. I just want you to know it's a blessing. And we're workers together in this. God puts us in these places. And you may feel like you don't have a whole lot you can do. There's something you can do. Be a prayer warrior. Reach out and touch somebody with your love. Show them you care. Most of us have the technology of a phone anymore that sends out texts. Whatever the Lord asks you to do to support the work of the Lord, it's not always our money. It's not always some great thing that we can do out there that everybody sees, but we are workers together. And I want to feel your encouragement, and I want somehow to be an encouragement to you also as we go along life's way. I want to help you make heaven, because we are all desperate to go there. I have thought about the order that God has. God is a God of order. He's not a God of chaos. He put families, He put structure in all of our lives. For a very good reason. Things work better. God designed it so. God designed us to, things can get accomplished better when there's order, when there's a structure in our lives. When you see young people not having structure in their life, my heart goes out to them, because I know they're chaotic. Their life is, they don't know which way they're going. I remember, again, Brother Ed, forgive me for using your parents, but they greatly impacted our congregation, and I was one of them there that impacted me very strongly. I was a young man, didn't have my legs under me yet. As sometimes in youth, we don't have good ideas or good direction sometimes. I was serving the Lord and wanting to serve the Lord. The Lord had helped me a lot, but Sister Dorothy looked at me one time and she said, She talked to me about what you're going to do. Where are you headed? She said, I want you to... She felt like it was important that I had a direction in life I was going. Because, and part of the reason, because if you don't have a place you're going, you're going to fill it with sin. Chaotic. She knew it wasn't healthy for me to have this kind of not knowing where I'm headed in life. And you know, God wants us to have purpose. And I have thought about that many times, the little counsel she gave me there. Quiet, solid saint of God, caring about a young man, want to make sure you've got a direction you're headed. And I would ask all of us too, let's set our sails for heaven. That's with purpose. And maybe not know exactly what the next step is, but intend, I'm headed that direction. And the Lord will broaden your path as you go. Broaden your ability to understand. Help our, as we have greater successes, the Lord will lead us down that, and it'll grow on our hands. Well, I would like for us to turn over here into Lamentations. You know, I've often thought about what the early preachers, wonder what Paul, what did he go before the crowd with? Did he have a Bible in his hand? Well, I doubt if he even had a scroll. Doubt if he had the Old Testament. He had some things hid in his heart. There are some truths and some experiences that he had with the Lord. Something he was passionate, he knew Christ. There was something he had to give. And when he stood on Mars Hill to begin to talk with these individuals, he had something he wondered. He reasoned with them. Something he had that he knew that if he could get them to get a hold of, it would bless them in their lives. He had a direction that he knew they needed to go. And I don't think God wants us to feel any less confident in our walk. Brother Paul was very confident when he stood on Mars Hill. He knew these brethren needed to have direction. Or these men needed to have direction. They needed to have something real, something solid in their lives. And so do we yet today. And we shouldn't shrink. When the Lord gives us something solid, we shouldn't kind of begin to doubt it. Because the devil would love to put a lot of question marks in our life, a lot of doubting. Because he doesn't want us to have a solid footing in life. It's very important for us to have some solid footing. As a young man with a questioning mind, I went down the road of sometimes I still do this. I question almost everything. If somebody comes up and tells me, did you hear about this? And you see about some great thing that happened. When you're telling me the story, I am listening to it, looking for loopholes, how that may not be true. Brother Stanley tried to help me with that. He said, I can't tell you anything, you believe it. It's not completely that way, but I am one of a skeptical mind. And that's not altogether bad, but it can be used badly. Be careful, but also it's okay to be questioning, thinking something through. I think it's important. Now, I want to read this scripture over here in Lamentations, the third chapter. And maybe the let's just start with the 25th verse. It establishes a very solid point here. The Lord is good unto them that wait on Him. That's a good place to start. It's solid. That's not complicated, is it? But we need to have that footing. Very solid, it's uncomplicated. That the Lord is good to those that are interested in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. This attitude that we have is not just... And there is some patience involved in this waiting. But sometimes this waiting really can mean attending to. When you go to the restaurant, don't you have a waiter? What are they doing? They're attending to you. And that's part of what as we approach the Lord, it's not just patience in looking toward Him and getting the answers. Some of it is attending to Him. I'm interested in what you have to say, Lord. I am very interested. And I can sit over your shoulder. I can wait here until I see, oh, I got something from Him right there. That meant I see a character in Him. I see something. Oh, it's valuable to me. And I want to pursue that. The Lord is good to those when he sees his children gathered around him listening attentively. How does he act? You see, the way he acts is very, very different than what we find in the world. There's attitudes that we find in the world that's not really a solid rock type, foundational, that stability in people's lives. What does the world promote? Isn't there a whole lot of doubt and great question? And questioning for the right purposes is good to learn and understand. But the devil's in the business of doubt. He didn't want us to have faith. Doesn't want us to really understand. And I can tell you something, and I understand how these minds can work. I can tell you what the order that God has for us, and we can start, here's an exception, and that may not be true now. Be careful. Some of these others are exceptions. They're not the norm. The fact is, our Lord is a rock. He's solid. He's foundational. We can build him. He's good to the man. For a man, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. Then it's good. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. This opens up to my mind the idea that a young man can... It said it's good for him to bear the yoke in his youth. That means some can, some will, and some won't. You have a choice. But the idea of being willing to bear the yoke... Now see, there, part of the order of God's plan, He made... Did you ever know that he made men different than women? That's an idea that's really kind of in doubt in some areas today. But it's really not in doubt, folks. It's not in doubt. It's a pretty simple fact. We have to really kind of twist your mind to get somewhere else in there. But yet the devil's really greatly in the business of trying to get our mind somewhere, just question marks and doubts and somewhere. But no, it's pretty solid that the Lord has made us different. And our jobs are different. He made us physically different. A man, if you look at most of it, again, I'm going to talk in generalities. In the norm, men are stronger than women. Why? God intended for men to have a certain rugged utility. They're not as, they don't have the finesse and beauty of a woman. I can tell you that the men recognize that women have a whole lot more beauty than what the men do. And well, sometimes we wonder what you see in us, but I also believe that God made us this way. For our own for special places and purposes. To go together as a team. You've got a very important job, women. And this, what we're talking about here today, is not going to exclude you at all. In fact, it's going to very much include your part in this is extremely important. And men should greatly value this place. But we got to work on the men here first. Men need to learn to intentionally take on a purpose. Take on the yoke. Put your shoulder up underneath it. What's the yoke we're talking about? I don't think this is just a hard, just difficulty of life. Well, men are supposed to be willing to face difficulty. Be willing to go through difficulty. There's something about the character that God put in man. He's supposed to be able to face difficulty. Not only supposed to be able to, but also at times relish the idea. I'm going to face this challenge and I'm going to go through it. How does that make a young lady feel when they see a young man with some stability of life? He's not flighty. He doesn't just run from all his troubles, but he stands there and says, I'm going through this one. I'm going to fight my demons. Yes. I'm going to get some victories in my life. The devil comes along, there's some temptation here, and the Lord helps a young man to grow strong. He stuck his neck in the yoke and said, Lord, I want to serve you. And I'm not running from this one. I'm tired, I've had some failures in the past, but not this day. I'm going to go to you, Lord. I'm seeking the blood. I'm struggling, but I'm going to fight. You know how that makes a young lady watching that young man do? You know what that makes her feel like? When she sees him getting the victory. You ever heard of crushes? It's actually a little bit more of than just a surface crush that a young lady. When she sees a young man acting like that, she admires it. God made her so. You know what? Since she is generally weaker than men, and God put her there. And men appreciate that. Men also feel the responsibility of protection. God made man to feel that responsibility. Now you can tell me that there's a lot of exceptions to the rule, and there may be a lot of that going around today, but that's not God's plan. God intends for men to be men. To shoulder that responsibility. To not run from it. And I know there's a lot of ideas trying to promote men, but we are hurting. It damages our society to whenever men or young men, even a single young man shirks his responsibility, it damages society to that degree. And spiritually, it damages us, young people, young men, in our congregations. It damages when we're not willing to stand up and fight for godliness. Not carnally, but with the strength of manly virtue. Set your face like a flint, but not be willing to be moved. And there are going to be some hard things you're going to go through. And did you know your wife needs that protection? She needs that. She needs to be able to trust you when you leave the house. When you get married, she needs to be able to trust you when you leave the house and go out there. That she sees, she knows there's character in this man. And when he tells me something, he's not going to vary from it. I can believe him. You know what that does to a home? It's more than just what we call warm, fuzzy feelings that makes up a marriage. That's involved in it. I thank God for it. But it's a whole lot more than that. For there to be security in a marriage and a home life, there's got to be some trust built. And you can't build trust when a young man has not stuck his neck under the yoke intentionally. I put it in there and say, Lord, I want to be like you. And the way you're going, it's not a hard yoke, really. But it's intending to be like Christ. I want to serve Him. And I want to allow Him to work in my life. I want His character to be developed in me. And as that happens, that young man will be a good candidate for a good wife and a good home and a good marriage and good children. That's the environment that the Lord intended to create. There's a whole lot more in my opinion in this idea of a young man learning while he's young to shoulder some responsibility, to shoulder some purpose of life, to stick his neck in the yoke and say, Lord, I'm going with you. There's a whole lot more involved in this than just what might meet the reading when we read the verse. This is action that I put in practice every day of my life. When we wake up as a man, maybe life is full, I understand that. But there ought to be, when we walk out that door at some point throughout that day, and I recommend early in the day, take yourself to the Lord and make a covenant this day. Lord, I want to serve you today. Help me to be victorious. And most of the time, we know where we're weak. We know where the places are that we could be tempted. And you take that very specifically to the Lord and say, Lord, today, this area I want to be victorious in. I wake up sometimes, I don't know why it's like this, but sometimes you ever awakened and just felt a little bit harried and a little bit frustrated already when you first get up and get going? Well, I can tell you what you're already going to struggle with. If you're going to feel that early in the morning, you're going to have feelings of frustration you're going to struggle with all day long, more than likely. The best way to deal with that is come and say, Lord, this is what I'm feeling. Help me. Give me some calmness of spirit. Give me some grace. I need your help. Now, there's other ways, other things also that we might, but I want to encourage us to put our neck in the yoke. Intentionally put it up in there and say, Lord, lead me. Change me. Develop me. Because that's what he wants to do. You know, he wants to perfect. Again, I know I've used this scripture a lot of times. I'm going to continue using it because I think it's important. He wants to perfect that concerns us. And that term perfecting simply means the Lord working with us to make us better. And we even used to, I want to be more like Christ. And that's okay. It's good. But the Lord wants us to be more like him too. And so we come and intentionally submit ourselves and say, Lord, perfect that concerns me. Change me. Open my understanding. So this idea of, for a young man, that you notice that description. I like to see old men too, with the neck and the yoke. But it's very important when we're young to learn it. Oh, it's so much better. You know, the Lord can bless your life in a greater measure when you start this pattern in your life as young as you know how to start it. Give it to the Lord. And the Lord will help you. I'm not saying you're going to all of a sudden see your future and have great purpose. But the Lord will give you enough to give you purpose for each day. And then he begins to inspire young men. What was that? Book of John, 1 John. Talked about your young men will see. There's visions and dreams involved in that. I don't know exactly. And old men, but there's some vision. But the point I want to make here is that God wants the young men to have some hope and some vision, some purpose of life. The old men will have some too. There's some things going on. But I'll just tell you, as you get older, you don't have the same. It's not the same as what I was when I was an 18-year-old. I don't have the strength. I don't have the vigor. But spiritually, that man doesn't need to decay. And I can tell you from experience, as I walked on with the Lord, though this outer man, there's certain characteristics of this outer man is decaying and not what he used to be, I can tell you that the spiritual man is greater than what he was. I know that. And it's not just me. I'm sorry if I'm distracting when we sing songs, But I'm just telling you, the songs mean a whole lot more to me than what they used to. I personalize those songs. When we are singing those songs and I hear those words, they come into my heart. So I'm sorry, I don't want to distract you. I hope you'll let it mean very deeply something to your heart too. That's what it has only increased in my life. As I went on to follow after the Lord, the meaning has only gotten richer. So the outward man may perish, but the inward man is renewed day by day. So I would also like to think the job. Well, I'm going to go over here into Ecclesiastes. Well, I'll turn way past it. The job that God has given as a body, as a unit, you know, even the church is referred to in the scripture as a body. Remember, it talked about the ear had a job, the nose, the eye, the head, the hand, the foot. There are specific jobs. My hand can never do what my eye is asked to do. It's incapable. It's not able to. But yet that hand is extremely hindered if my eye is put out. it's neat. It's complementary, you see. The eye cannot do what the hand, but yet the eye is hindered if that hand is not useful. We as a body also are hindered when we do not take the place that the Lord asks us to take. And you may want to be the head or the eye, or you may want to be something more visible. But you do the job that the Lord asked you to do. Because in doing that job, you will be greatly blessed, and you will bless others in the fullest of manner. You can't, if the Lord asked you to be the hand, you're not the eye. And you can try to be the eye all you want to, but in trying to be the eye, you're only going to cause yourself and others trouble. So by saying that, I want us to be encouraged to enjoy the job that the Lord has given us. Whatever is before, what the Lord has placed in your hands, do it with all your might. As unto the Lord, not to be noticed. Because if we start doing it for personal to be noticed, we're going to shortchange what God really was. Not only are we going to shortchange ourselves, we're going to damage the whole. Because what's happened, we've let pride in. And pride's an ugly thing. When it, as a bud, it seems like not that bad, but as it comes to fruition, it's terrible and causes a lot of destruction. So I encourage us, just be happy serving the Lord in the place that the Lord's put you. Now, let's see here in Ecclesiastes, I believe. I think it was the 10th. Still think it's the 10th here. I can't put my eyes on it. Talks about the something that was, he said, was a bad thing. It's when a prince was, a servant was riding and a prince was walking on foot. Verse 7, thank you. Folly, 6th verse. I may well start at the 5th. There's an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceeds from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. We can have this little sense that, well, the rich kind of got their comeuppance. Well, be careful how we feel that way. I think the Lord would have us to be happy in the place that the Lord has put us. That doesn't mean God doesn't want us to have ambition. That's not what we're talking about here. But, you know, the devil would like to spread feelings in our heart of just general discontent and starting to look at somebody that's got things easier, and we start having envy. Things start beginning to build. It's not good. But that's really not the point of what he's saying here. But I would encourage us, don't let those feelings grow in our heart. But really the point I think he's making here, there are, when in an order of things, we can see sometimes people or things getting in position that should never have been there. This wasn't supposed to be there. Let me ask you this quick. This may help illustrate it. In your home life, parents, as you're raising your children, do you think it's proper and good for the child to rule the home? Wouldn't you say that's a great, if you was going to write this scripture, you'd start saying it's a great evil where the parents aren't in control. When the child's in control and the parents are out of control and they're walking like servants and the child's the one riding in authority here, I think that's a point. It's part of the point he's making here. It's not proper. Parents, listen. God wants us to never abdicate that position that He gave us. He gave us a child because He didn't do it the other way. He didn't give the child parents. He gave parents a child. A child is not capable. They don't have the ability to take on responsibility. They're not there yet. You know what? And the Lord gave that child to parents for a purpose. We are supposed to love and train and teach and influence. That's our job. And we're never supposed to turn around and say, well, I don't want to, you know, I want to give my child space. I want them to express themselves. Well, yes, you do, but you want them to learn to express themselves within the bounds of propriety. And that's your job to teach. It doesn't do any of us any good when something like this gets elevated. Man, God has given you a special place in the home, in society, a special job. But you're real ugly if you stand up there and rule by force. You're ugly. You make me ashamed for you when I see you treating your wife ill. When you run over her and don't care, you make me really ashamed for you. And you make me a little upset. Because I think you're damaging something that God intended to be very beautiful. And you're using your force on a weaker vessel. Doesn't mean she's inferior. It's the identification. She is weaker. And you're using your force to lord it over her. And that makes me ashamed for you. See, God's got something better. You see, He really wants that man to be under authority himself. And it is uncomely, it's ugly when this order gets turned around. When the love of God is not the thing that motivates our heart. When this willingness to take on responsibility, put our neck under the yoke and head the direction that God has prescribed for us, just societally, but more than that, this is His prescription for us as godly people. This godliness, this is part of the expression of godliness when we actually care for one another in such a way that God can bless our homes and our children and we treat each other right. You know, I think God would like for our children, when they reach their teenage years, and if you would come and have a conversation with our children, somebody else would come and have a conversation, we would learn that from the children that, yes, I've got confidence in mom and dad. They may say, and believe me, let me tell you, give this caveat. I don't know any of us that's done it so perfectly that our children will say, yes, they never made a mistake. At least I put myself in that category. And I think you're in that one too. But we can handle ourselves before our children and by the grace of God in such a way that our children can say, yes, you know, mom and dad, I don't believe they always did everything right. And they maybe spanked me that one time when it really wasn't my fault. I understand that. But they will say, I know mom and dad loves us and they cared. And I appreciate my parents. I think the Lord can do that. Can help us to achieve that. It's not achieved, though, by us reneging on our responsibility, nor is it achieved by us asserting it by carnal force. There's a way to do it. How does the Lord deal with us? Does He deal with us in utter strength and force that would over... How can I get to this idea? Does He force you to love Him? It's not... That's right. It can't be done. It's not love if it's done by force. Anyway. And so the Lord
How does he deal with it? He wins us by his love. He shows us love and he binds us closer to him by that action. I'm captivated now by his love and I want to be like him. And that's the element that the Lord wants to use in our homes, in our marriages. Men, when you have this responsibility with your wife, exercise love, tenderness. That is another characteristic that man is not all utility and strong and mean and meat challenge. That's part of the characteristic, but he's also, Christ was not only a lion, he was a lamb. Yes, and those characteristics of strength and force and kindness all blent together gives us, me, when I look at the Lamb of God, when I look at the Lion of the tribe of Judah, all blent together, it gives me a great sense of security. He loves me and he's strong enough to bring me through. I thank you, Lord. And that's what the Lord wants to develop in our homes. These same characteristics that Christ has. His love and the strength that God made us with, men. Strength of character that God wants us to develop and get only stronger. Boundaries that get stronger in our heart and our life. And we are in a time today that boundaries are really being challenged. And I really want to encourage our young people. Get some things settled in your mind. Some spiritual places of grounding. Because there's a lot of question marks, a lot of questions that the devil would like to bring in our mind that will get you unsettled. And if you get in that territory, you're going to have trouble. You just will. And I say that not with a desire to be manipulative of you, except I would like to influence you, right? But if you go down that road, I pity you because it's a struggle. I've been in some of those places at times, but you felt, and it's not a fun place to be. And I thank the Lord for it. He can help us and bring us out. But I just want to encourage you, get some things settled. Get it settled, get it. Let the devil know. Brother Clifford used to tell us, you yourself tell yourself, you tell the Lord, and you tell the devil. You make sure he knows. This is my decision. It's all over with. I'm not going to parlay with you anymore. You can come around and say whatever you want to. I'm done talking with you. This is settled, you see. And there's some real strength that the Lord has to give us at times like that. And the reason why I'm presenting some of this to us today, because I know the devil's out there trying to get us on unstable ground. We see it, don't we? Some things that has been settled in our minds for years, thought would never be questioned, are in doubt in many sectors today. When would you have ever thought that it would have been widely accepted and thought proper, or even thought probably that it was moral for two people to get married that were of the same gender? Would you have ever dreamed? I'm just telling you, in my youth, I wouldn't have thought. But we're at that time that society is pushing hard for that type of acceptance and giving us all kinds of reasons to accept that the ground begins to tremble under our feet. Be careful, don't step on that ground. I'm just telling you, it's not a good place to stand. There are some absolutes. And I know you can say, well, you know, we can go down this doubtful road and give you some other exceptions. I understand that. I'm like that in my mind. I try to find loopholes and things. But I have to come back and stand back and look. This is the way that God created it. This is the norm. Everything else is the exception. It's not the norm. And it's abnormal. All that other is abnormal. It's not normal. It's not right. I understand sometimes the questioning mind. In fact, I encourage questioning minds as long as we seek toward righteousness. The devil can also take our questioning mind and try to turn it
to lead us in a gray area, unsettled areas in our life. And I just encourage you, stay away from that, because it'll leave you in doubt, an unstable ground. So, in our walk with the Lord, and I won't hold us much longer, because I hope you've got some of the idea that I'm concerned with the way the world's going, and I know you young folks are going to be facing some things. You're going to be facing ideas that I've never approached my mind. You're going to be facing things that the devil would like to bring in and make it acceptable to you. And some things you will not be acceptable. Even if we in our minds might make room for it and seem to make it acceptable, but if it's not acceptable to God, it does us no good to just try to make it acceptable, because it's not acceptable to God. And I'll tell you, I'm desperate to go to heaven. I can't get in this area of confusion in my mind. I've got to stay where I know Christ, where God's blessings are. And I will tell you that I'm one of those. You can call me old fashioned if you wish, but there's some things that's being promoted out there that I know in my heart is just evil and wrong. And I'll always call it so. I'll love people that are involved in some of those things, and I'll do my best to help them. But some of the best way to help them is if the Lord somehow can ever get them to acknowledge and recognize in their heart that what I'm involved with is evil. It's wrong. Talk to a man not all that long ago. He was involved in alcohol and drugs. It's stolen almost everything. Well, just about everything from his life. His family didn't want to have anything to do with him anymore. He'd lost all his jobs. And he was in a dryout center. Went there to talk with him. And when he got there, he found out his brother was also in the same dryout center. He didn't know his brother was there. They were estranged. Both of them was real troubled and had alcohol and drugs just took over their life. And when I went in to talk with him, I found out that his brother had, I don't know whether it's drug and what was all going on, but he had taken a knife and opened up his own stomach. And he had staples right there. They had tried to sew him back up, and he was alive, and he was in that same center. And there was a little chapel in that center. We went in there, kind of a private area to talk. And I had a songbook that I took with me. And there's some absolutes that we need to know about life. This song is so positive and true. And I looked at that one man, and I said, "This." He was telling me this was it. He wanted to make a complete turnaround. I said, "Oh, I'm glad. I hope that's so." I said, "Your track record is not very good, but that can change. It's all in your hands. What you decide." And again, I'll tell that to us. There's a lot hinges on our purpose and our decision that we make today, every day. And I told him, said, this is it. This is the day. This is when you need to, you turn your back on it. Don't sympathize with that anymore. We can't sympathize with sin. We can't sympathize with things that come to destroy or put us in a territory of doubt and for our faith and trust can't be strong. We need to do battle for the Lord. I looked at that man and I said, "I want to read you some words to a song. This has always been a blessing to me. It's strong. There's positive words. Must I in sinful bondage be deprived of peace and liberty when in the promise I can see the blood of Jesus cleanseth?" I hope we understand those words to be true. It's more than a song to me. I know it's so. You see, I was there. I know what it's like to be translated from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of His dear Son. I know what it's like. I felt it happen. And I looked at him in his eyes when he... And I was telling him, I know this is true. And it was like hope began to rise and say, that can it actually be? I said, yes, it can be you. Must I be doubting, full of fear and gloom, obscure my pathway here? Be up and down in life's career? We don't have to be so unsettled in our walk with the Lord that every day is such a struggle and doubt, full of doubt. Now, I understand people can get in that, but that's what God wants to help you get past that. God wants to give some real strength in your life. Whether you're a young man or old man or young lady or older lady, there's a place to put our neck under the yoke and with purpose of heart say, this ends today. I'm going forward. I'm not letting this type of doubt just keep lingering in my heart. I understand we're going to have, the devil will come by and try to get us back there. But again, when he does, say, no. I told you before, I'm done with that. I'm not interested in your doubtful ways. I'm not interested in your all the things. I am running. I want to serve my Lord. I'm desperate. I've got to make it. I want to go to heaven. Must I be doubting, full of fear, and gloom obscure my pathway here, be up and down in life's career? No. The clear, strong answer is no. The blood of Jesus cleanseth. There's help. Must I be under guilt and sin and have the blighting force within, beset by wrong, never gaining the victory? No, there's more strength in the blood than that, folks. There's more power. Yes, God asks us to have strong resolve to follow Him. That's our part. But there's a part that He gives us that goes beyond. When we come to the end of our abilities, and I look up at Him and say, Father, save me. Do you know He's got a hand big enough to get a hold of ours and keep us from falling? Do you know that? He's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless. I just quoted a scripture that's in the Bible. He didn't lie when He said that either. He's able. And I want us, by faith, to reach out and grasp hold of that as enormous hope in our life. That God's able to take us through. The blood of Jesus cleanseth. Must I suppose that I'm right today and tomorrow have this wishy-washy mind and not know which way I'm going? No, God's got, there's something better than that. Must I suppose I'm right today, tomorrow, think I've gone astray? Let demons hold me in dismay? The blood of Jesus cleanseth. Must I, by Satan, be accused? Please let me, if you're having trouble with accusation, I don't want to lay anything more burdened on. I understand sensitive conscious. Sometimes the devil takes advantage of sensitive conscious people. And I wouldn't lay another, but I just want to tell you the Lord wants to help you through that. I really want you to know the Lord loves you where you are, and He wants to help you pass to a stronger position. The Lord wants to perfect some of those things that concern you, us. Lest I, by Satan, be accused and with his galling yoke abused until at length I miss heaven? No, the blood of Jesus cleanseth. The blood, the precious blood of Jesus. The blood will work a perfect cure, will cleanse the heart and keep it pure. And I believe that. I know that in that form is not written exactly like that in the scripture, but the Bible is full of that truth. Jesus' words Himself is full of that truth. I just want to encourage this. I don't want to... There's a whole lot more can be said about this order. I've done that rather haphazardly, but maybe not very orderly today. But I want to encourage you. There is order that God has for your life. Men, There's a place God wants you in. And He wants us to grasp our responsibility. He wants us to go forth in His strength. Not quail. Not turn around and say, I don't know. No, God's got something, some strength to pour into our body. He wants us to stand up like men. Quit you like men. Be strong. Act like a man. Stand up. Women, your job is different, I know. But it's just as important. Oh, the place that God has put you in. And as the Lord puts us together as a group, as a body of Christ, in a congregation, every joint supplieth, you see. There's very important parts that we have to play. Let's play it. Play it? No, that's not quite the right. Let's perform it. Let's perform our parts the best that we know how. And I always ask the Lord, help me to do it better. I want to be more successful for you, Lord. And I know Brother Ed one time talking to some of us ministers, he said, I encourage you when messages, you preach a message and it's recorded, I encourage you to go and listen to yourself. I know when he said that, I went through my mind, I can't hardly do that. It's very difficult for me to hear myself. But then he went on and said, if what makes you think, if you can't hear, listen to yourself, what makes you think they want to listen to you? There's some truth in that. So I don't mean to be abusive or boring to you. So you pray for me. I want to perform my place with the Lord in a way. And I ask the Lord to help me to do better. But I really want to serve the Lord. And I want to serve the Lord with you. And I want to somehow encourage you and inspire you to be all that you can be in Christ. And to be stable and settled. That when we go from here and begin our lives, the Lord begins to build other elements around us. Maybe young people getting married, and the Lord gives you something special in your future. The Lord wants to be able to pour real blessings in your life. And unless we get our neck under the yoke and purpose of heart, I'm going through. I want to serve the Lord. I really, by His grace, I'm going to get the victory over these places in my life. Unless we do that, we're going to shortchange, at least shortchange, what God wants to do for us. The Lord wants our joy to be full. Pray for me.